Hi, my name is Sarah Tran.
And this is Megha Jan.
And we
are Technology. Hello, everyone. Today is Tuesday, October 20th, and welcome to a conversation that we've all been waiting to have. It's about the high-speed virtual event, which was just held last Tuesday by Apple.
But before we get right into it, Megha, let's start off with the tea. What flavor are you drinking today?
Right. Okay. So today I am back to drinking my normal green tea. What about you, Sarah? I've actually been really wanting to try pumpkin. Do you have anything pumpkin going on today?
Unfortunately, no. I wish I had some sort of like a cinnamon apple in the nature of this episode, but I'm just drinking some good old Earl Grey today. It's pretty nice.
Anyways, so talking about this particular event, it has been long awaited. We knew that Apple was going to finally release a phone with 5G capabilities.
Yeah, it's been a while. A lot of us were expecting it in September. I know I was one of those people. It's waiting around like 6 months, 5 months. I was like, I'm so ready for the iPhone 12 to drop. And then it was delayed about a month. But it's finally here. And the high-speed virtual event moderated by Tim Cook, Apple's CEO, was on October 13th. So 5 days away from when this episode is being recorded.
Yeah. And this event not only introduced what we thought would be the iPhone 12, but it also introduced an entire line of products. It introduced the iPhone 12 Pro, the iPhone 12 Max, which is kind of an order of sizes that we're not really used to, because there was also the iPhone 12 Mini on top of that. And that was really, really interesting to see. Sarah, who do you think they're targeting with the iPhone 12 mini? Like, this has never really happened before. Who do you think is the ideal customer for this?
That's a really great question. I guess the best way to think about that, in my opinion, would be like, a lot of the times people have been saying that every single year the iPhone is being released, we're getting an increasingly larger screen size. I mean, if you just look at, I don't know if you guys will remember this, but do you guys remember the iPhone 4, like when that was a thing?
Wow, that was like prehistoric times. But yes, I do remember. They were, if I'm looking at my iPhone XS right now, and I'm pretty sure they were 3/4 of the size of this phone.
Exactly, right? And I have an 11, so when I hold that thing, like it actually is larger than my hand practically. And I think sort of where they're trying to target this iPhone 12 mini is I also think it's kind of an experiment, right? Like, is there going to be a trend where instead of trying to build a bigger, better phone every year, we're creating a smaller and perhaps more efficient phone that's just like more convenient on the go?
Yeah. And talking about convenience, you know, and this new market for smaller phones, I think another thing to take into consideration is, you know, Gen Z and the fact that a lot of the younger members of Gen Z are starting to use iPhones. I remember, I think I got my first iPhone towards the end of sixth grade, which I would even say is pretty early, but I remember that a lot of people already had iPhones. And as I started growing up, I remember, you know, looking at my friends' little siblings who were in first, second grade who had phones of their own. And they were usually iPhones. So if you want your kid to stay connected and have an iPhone, which seems to be the trend nowadays, you might want to invest in an iPhone 12 mini.
I also think that one of the benefits is that the iPhone 12 mini, being part of the 12 series, can allow you to get like 5G access without having to pay nearly as much as like the iPhone 12 Pro. So for some context, the iPhone 12 mini is starting at $699 versus the iPhone 12 Pro, which is $999, and the iPhone 12 Pro Max, which is starting at $1,099. So I think just looking at the price points, like that's such a great point. And I'm glad that they're trying to make 5G perhaps more accessible for their customers.
For sure. And talking about, you know, accessibility and like even expanding their product line, something else that Apple released was the HomePod Mini. Once again, we see that word mini. So do you want to talk a little bit about that, Sarah, and tell our listeners, you know, the starting price for that and basically what it has to offer.
Yeah, so with the HomePod Mini, previously Apple did have their own HomePod, but it didn't nearly have as many features as the HomePod Mini does. The HomePod was more of like a speaker that you just have it in your house and it plays music. But with the HomePod Mini now, it allows you to essentially have your own Siri and bring back that, the voice control and like the audio enabled subscription services, which I think, you know, to spill the tea on this, by having HomePod Minis, which are just more accessible in everyone's houses, it's going to allow Apple to push their own subscription services that they've been working on for the past couple of months. But for the price point, the HomePod Mini is starting at $99, which is a pretty great deal if you're trying to get that this all-in-one Apple incorporated system for all of you Apple fans out there.
For sure. Something really, really cool about this event and the iPhone 12 in particular was, for me, the A14 Bionic chip. And I know some of you might be thinking, why is she fangirling over a chip? Well, here's why. The A14 Bionic chip is supposed to be faster than any other smartphone chip out there. And it has some crazy processing capabilities. It has twice as many cores for machine learning. It has a faster GPU, like its graphics are better. And it also has a great amount of speed. In fact, its CPU is 40% faster than the one in the previous iPad Air. So this chip has not only been used in the iPhone 12, but it's also being used in the iPad Air, which was released back in September. And it also runs more instructions in parallel. So now that it is being able to like run a lot of things at once, you're not going to get that sort of lag that you might have gotten in some previous phones. Basically, you're just getting faster like search results, cleaner graphics. For me, it's just a win-win deal, honestly.
That's super cool. This entire event was really focused around speed. So to see that they're not only innovating on the 5G end, but also on their own hardware infrastructure is just really, really awesome. But I guess to transition to where I'm really excited, and I've been really looking forward to this part of the iPhone 12, it's about 5G, so fifth generation technologies. So yeah, I guess that begs the question, how powerful is 5G really?
Very, very powerful. It's 10 times faster than 4G LTE. And some experts are even saying it can go up to 100 times as fast. So just for some context, that is fast enough to download a 2-hour movie in fewer than 10 seconds versus what it would usually take with 4G, which is around 7 minutes.
Just imagine all of the Netflix series that you can download in seconds. But I guess the next question then is, what's the tea with 5G? Why do people keep on talking about it?
Yeah, I guess the tea with 5G, well, there's been a lot of tea, if we're being honest. And I think our audience would probably be no stranger to all the scandals that were happening with expansion of 5G networks in, you know, other countries, from companies that originated in China, Huawei, cough, cough. But basically, after all of this drama about like who's going to control 5G networks, who's going to get this sort of powerful technology and distribute it to you know, millions, if not billions of people, we know that Apple is, they're not the first to introduce this technology in smartphones. But the cool thing about Apple getting in this game is that they're almost always the fastest to climb all the way to the top. Even if they are late in market entry, they become market leaders.
Yeah, we saw this with 3G and 4G LTE cellular capabilities with iPhones. It was nearly an entire generation behind in really jumping into that market. But now we see that when we think about 4G and we just think about the general cellular consumption, we always associate it with at least like the iPhone or Apple is always a dominant player in the market. And then the next factor is actually that many analysts are saying that Apple will actually overtake Samsung in the race to 5G essentially, which is really interesting because Samsung actually has about a dozen 5G phone models available. And over the course of 2019 has shipped over half of those 5G units. With Apple, it's expected to become the second largest 5G phone seller after Huawei, according to Strategy Analytics. And another fun fact or statistic is that it's estimated to have around 180 million of 2021's 670 million 5G phones.
These numbers absolutely blow me away. I think it is testament to the fact that Apple has always been, you know, this huge player in the smartphone industry, absolutely unbeatable. When their products come in, they might be a little late, but they come with full force and just blow the competition out of the water. And it looks like they're going to continue doing so in 2020 and beyond. But yeah, there's like this really cool quote that Sarah shared with me. It's by strategy analyst Ville Petteri Ukanahu. And basically, he was saying that there is this so-called Apple effect. So like whatever Apple does, it almost immediately becomes a success. And I think this is just such a phenomenal wrap up for, I guess, this segment of our episode. We know that, you know, this smartphone is going to take off and it means something. It's going to usher an entirely new era of smartphone and then even connections to 5G in this decade. This event was extremely unique. They were able to approach speed from two different lenses, you know, not only the A14 Bionic chip, but also 5G. And I think that's going to be a game changer.
And speaking of lenses, one of the really exciting parts outside of 5G innovations and the bionic chip that Mega's a little too obsessed with is with regards to the camera. And with the new launch on all four of the iPhone models that were released, the main wide-angle camera actually has a new lens with an aperture of f1.6 and a new larger sensor. Apple claims that this combo can offer up to like 27% improvement in low light situations. So if you want to take a selfie in the dark anytime soon, I think this is the upgrade that you need.
Yeah, I really can't wait to go on like night hikes with friends, hopefully when things start opening up again, and take some really fire selfies for Instagram and Snapchat.
So yeah, one aspect of the camera innovation is that you can take more fire selfies, as Mega said, in the dark, which is great. And another thing is with the ultra wide angle camera on all the phones. Essentially, they're getting a boost on the software end to help correct distortion of your photos, and the LiDAR sensor, which will allow for more or for better night vision photos as well. So we're going back to the night selfie aspect again. And the last thing is sort of the differences between the iPhone 11 Pro and the iPhone 12 Pro Max. Or I guess the iPhone 12 Pro and the iPhone 12 Pro Max. The iPhone 12 Pro actually has a similar 52 millimeter lens as last year's iPhone 11 Pro, but the iPhone 12 Pro Max is actually getting a new longer 65 millimeter lens. And this essentially offers you 2.5 times optical zoom instead of the standard 2 times optical zoom on the iPhone 12 Pro.
That is amazing to hear. I remember a few years ago, I used to run like an amateur photography account. And sometimes when I'd be on the go and I like happened to not have my camera with me, I'd want to take a photo and they would turn out really, really grainy whenever I tried zooming in. So it's really exciting to know that they're finally solving that issue in a way that I hope really works this time.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. It really seems like they're charging up their game.
Ooh, speaking of charging up their game, thank you, Sarah, is a conversation that we need to have about the MagSafe charger, because that was something that was super, super exciting. So if you guys are familiar with the term MagSafe, I'm sure you've heard it surrounding like MacBooks and MacBook Pros, because Apple has been using it for a while. But what's really cool about the new MagSafe chargers are that we can actually use them on iPhone 12 devices. And kind of the way that works is that this is the way Apple described it. They said that there's like an array of magnets within iPhone 12. And the cool thing about it is that they are actually recycled. And they're around a centered charging coil. It can pull up to 15 watts of power. So we basically have this like whole magnetic situation going on in the back of our phone, where you can kind of just attach this like charging device to the back, and all of a sudden you are charging. In a way, I think of it like a pop socket, because I think that was a really huge trend that a lot of people still use today. You are supposed to attach this adhesive element to the back of your phone, and it can help you prop your phone up or just serve as something you can push when you feel anxious or stressed. But I think that with this and then all the MagSafe accessories, like, you know, all the covers and the pop socket like things that are coming out, Apple is also trying to capture the accessories market more than it ever has before in any previous phone.
Yeah, I really couldn't agree more. It seems like in the technological air at the moment, there's all these electric currents and there's all this magnetism. But I think the funny part is that there's also a lot of polarization right now around the iPhone 12. We can see this especially in Apple's move to really expand the iPhone models into various aspects or various markets around the world. We actually see this with China very prominently, where the predominant vendor of 5G is Huawei, which historically has been placed on the US's, I believe it was called the trade regulations list. I can't remember the exact name.
The naughty list.
Essentially, yeah, that's exactly what happened. And so for anyone who's been reading the news recently or just any time this year, you've probably seen a lot of the stuff going on with Huawei and the conflicts with regards to whether US citizens should ever utilize 5G services from a non-US company.
Definitely. And I think that issue is going to rear its head into the release of the iPhone 12 and other products like this as well, just because those providers are still there and it's really like whoever reaches the market first when it comes to providers. And Apple is just, you know, offering a platform through which you can use 5G. So this is going to be really great for Huawei in China. And in some ways, it might also hurt them because Huawei is also getting into, you know, the smartphone market. I mean, they are in the smartphone market themselves. So this could prove to be a little fatal because even though 5G is still in its infancy, there have been huge leaps in like creating networks in China. And there are so many smartphones in China that already have 5G. In fact, Apple so far was the only one in the country's top five smartphone vendors that did not offer 5G capabilities. So one might even ask, how did they manage to stay afloat and on top for this long? Because honestly, that is surprising. And in fact, the Chinese market accounts for 15% of Apple's total sales. So this is a huge market for them, and they have been doing well in it.
That statistic you gave about how Apple was the only one of the country's top five smartphone vendors without 5G up to this point, it's been pretty crazy, especially to hear a lot of these articles saying that the iPhone 12 and 5G is going to start this unlimited upgrade super cycle of sorts. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, the super cycle was a really interesting point I kept seeing again and again. So for those of you listening who may not be familiar with, like, you know, what a super cycle is, it's basically when consumers are forced to upgrade because of these crazy new features that are coming out. And then it kind of starts this cycle within a certain market where everyone is trying to upgrade and get the newest model. So basically, when we run the numbers, we see that about 20% of the upgrades in iPhones in the coming years will be from the Chinese market itself. And that this release is kind of the pivot point for that happening. It's like one of Apple's most important iPhone releases in the past few years. And in fact, you know, the Chinese International Capital Corporation was telling us that like 72% of users around the world right now are still using models from 2017 and earlier. So not only will like potentially 20% of these people in China be upgrading, but there's a great possibility that this upgrade super cycle is not going to just be contained in this country, but be a global phenomenon. And users of iPhone everywhere are soon going to be scrambling to the stores virtually to buy iPhone 12.
So then I guess that really just brings us to the question, you know, what really is the tea here with this unlimited, infinite upgrade super cycle that we potentially are going to be in these next couple of years? Besides the fact that it's ending Apple's decline in sales for the past five consecutive years. If we look at it on the very global macro scale, it's probably an increase in polarization between various countries, or I guess 5G vendors, as we approach sort of this race towards 5G and who can really be number one in this industry that's continuing to grow.
Yeah, and kind of the restrictions and regulations that they may face as they continue to capture market share domestically and internationally, and they tackle not only domestic laws, but also international standards. But with that, thank you so much for tuning in, guys, to this episode about high speed. Make sure to join us next week to spill some more tea. But in the meantime, go ahead and follow our Instagram at technology.podcast. You can follow us on LinkedIn as well with just technology. And you can go and follow us for Twitter updates at technology1.
Yeah, and keep in mind, if you're one of our followers or listeners, we really appreciate you guys. And we just love that you're part of the Technola team. So make sure to tune in again next week, and we will see you there to spill some more tea.